The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
And welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, we serve the entire tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. I'd like to encourage you to let family and friends know that we're on live right now, but also that they can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link when it's after the broadcast. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to a few people that have been helping us to maintain our broadcast and the theme of the broadcast. And they include Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, who is a national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, all of our guests, and I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be here with you. Before I go to Mark, I just want to say it was a pleasure to attend a few major community events this week, including a carnival there at St. John Cantius in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. Wow, what an event. Also, the Harvest Festival that took place there at the Associated Polish Home, 9150 Academy Road in Northeast Philadelphia, the Dozhinki. It was great. But it's always good to go to these events and hear from people who listen to our broadcast. That's a very important thing. And I appreciate hearing comments and suggestions from people. And I do use a lot of them in my weekly commentaries on radio programs and also share the information with people. And they all tell me about Mark Andel and his store that they get stuff through all these service delivery services. They talk about Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Henry Chaplinsky, and they are very pleased at those events. People I never saw came up to me and said, "We know you by your voice on the radio," which I laughed when I heard that. I said, "Oh, brother, that's good to know at least." But it's good to hear the message that we're promoting is being respected by people. Americans want jobs for people, not increasing welfare programs. They want job skills, education, pride in their community, self-sufficiency. They don't want to hear everything is crime. They want to hear what will help crime to go away. And I always believe that having a job will certainly do that. Many people want to know, and they ask me quite frankly, because one day at the carnival, I was walking with a few elected people. They want to know how much the people are who are paid to do their job in Washington or in Harrisburg are helping us to get our message out to our fellow Americans. And that's a very good question. And I will tell you that we are mainly independently on our own and by a few donations from outsiders. So government is not supporting us to get our message out to the public. And many people want to know what they can do. And I say, well, you're already doing so much by going out looking for American made. Many people are discouraged that they can't find much American made. They're really wondering what happened. And some stores that had stuff with this supply chain issue that happened, they were using their American-made stuff that was all bought out. And then the next thing you know, the stuff that was coming imported from other countries came in, and they didn't like that. They're tired of this bringing stuff in from other countries. They don't want that. They want American-made products. One more thing. A listener wrote me and stated, I've been looking for four tires made in the United States. Michelin, Goodyear, and Goodrich state that they have them. But when I call the retailer to get them, they tell me they're made in Mexico. Any help will be appreciated. That message came to me from Miles, who is a listener of our broadcast. And if anyone knows where they can get Made in America tires, let me know. Send me a note to michael@americanworkersradio.com. You know, every once in a while, we like to do some important updates. And as a result of going out to some community events, this update is going to come, and I'm going to ask Mark to be our first speaker today when I finish with a few questions. And let us know, what do you think of what is going on the official government record? It's not somebody on the news media or some individual. This is the official government record. At this point, there are more than 31 million businesses that are registered in the United States, with tens of millions of Americans now promoting our message. We're doing our best to get those people to help us to look for American-made first, and it's happening. Now, America's businesses that I'm speaking of, the 31 million, represent businesses that are sole proprietors, maybe a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. There are small and medium-sized businesses in malls and in all sorts of communities. There are also larger businesses that employ hundreds of thousands of people, and that's great. Now, there are 31 million private sector businesses that are providing 135 million Americans with full and part-time jobs. 135 million are being provided employment from 31 million private businesses. However, there's an additional 23 million Americans employed by various levels of government. That's federal, state, and local government offices. The combined total of private sector and government jobs is only 158 million people employed in America. That is less than it was 20 years ago. Now, it's not only because of the pandemic or anything like that. It's less than it was 20 years ago, which simply means more jobs have been shipped out of the country. When people retired, there was no one to replace them, so they just shipped the job somewhere else. These are from the Department of Labor, not from Michael Bliosh or anybody else. However, we have a population of 333 million people here in the United States. And when we take out children and youth under 18, parents that are home with their children, and retired senior citizens, America should have no less, it should have much more, but no less than 188 million full and part-time jobs available for working age and able-bodied people. My point is, right now, by the government statistics, we are 30 million jobs below where we should be when we take out the children and youth, senior citizens, and the people with disabilities and things. We are 30 million jobs short of where we should be. Now that the president said the pandemic is over, I think everybody has to start refocusing on what we're doing here in America and what we're going to do to get those 30 million jobs back. The jobs that left America 30 years ago are not the same jobs that we'd be having here in the United States. Many of them are mechanized, computerized, and they are going to be much, much different. But they are in other countries, and they are considered skilled jobs, especially making many of the very interesting things like cell phones and communications and cameras and, you know, cameras for your doorbell. All those are foreign made. So we have to do something about it. I'm glad we had the opportunity to at least outline this. There's one more thing I would like to say that we spoke about, which was very interesting. If just 5 million of America's businesses could employ an additional 5 people to meet the demands of American-made products, in other words, people going out of their way to look for American-made, and we got to have them American-made, we got to get more people on the jobs, that would create 25 million new job opportunities, full or part-time, right here in the United States of America. I have a few other questions to ask, and these are just a few that, you know, I wanted to ask and talk about. Mark, you heard the report. What do you have to say?
Yeah, how you doing? Good morning, Mike and Rich and Lark and Henry. Always thank you for making us sound better than we are. Mike, great numbers. You know, it makes you think 333 million people in the country, and like you said, 135 million work in private side, and 158 million total. It makes you think, and where the country's going, it's great to use that as a guide. I'd like to talk not only about that, and I think you hit on why a lot of jobs went overseas. Our government, I'm not sure why they think they should give away the textile industry. We're wigwam socks. Bob Chesbrough always told me all the government deals gave away his industry. He needs his industry. His, you know, he was third generation. There's a lot of, you know, if you're making golf tees by hand or keychains, that's okay up in Michigan. I don't know why they feel they've got to give these jobs away that gives people a purpose. But Mike, I'd like to talk, you know, brutal facts of the current reality. You know, we've been blessed with these buses coming in, Mike, and they're coming from all over. They're dead-ending, not going to Canada, Diamond Tours and other tour bus industry. Some of the big boys, they stopped going to Canada because they were having troubles with COVID and different things that would hold their bus and get them off schedule. So they're coming to see Niagara Falls and the Made in America store, which is beautiful. And we're getting a lot of respect. We're getting a lot of people in. I did a bus from Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday. It was awesome. I just did one from Illinois yesterday. But the Green Bay, talking to a vocational industrial arts teacher. It was real interesting, Mike. He loved what we're doing. He loves that I got the bricklayers, the sheet metal guys. Everybody's represented at my store in the front, and the model planes that fly. And he just loved, and they all agree with me that we missed this, the 40-year mistake. These skilled trade workers are needed. He had a really neat plan up in Green Bay that their school would produce, allow the kids the plumbing, the wiring, the carpentry. They'd buy the materials to build a house for the community, not just a model house. They'd switch two-floor, one-floor. It'd take the school 2 years to build the house using the students and, you know, teachers and professionals that would help them and guide them and coach them. And then they would sell that house and give the money back to the school to buy another one. So in the years up to 1980, whatever, they had built 25 houses in the community. And I think Larkin's going to love it. That's just a great, great project to build a full, complete house, have it working, lights go on, water run, and then sell it and then give it back and let the kids do it again. They did end that project, but it was a really great, great project that gave hands-on training. So, Mike, off these buses that are coming, we've got 60, 70 in the next 6 weeks, unbelievable amount coming back. Loving that, to see what Americans are making, number one. But I want to talk, you know, I talk on the bus how this is. We're seeing less disposable income than ever, and we can gauge it by our bus, by the 56 people, what they spend. And they're spending about 50% less, meaning that their money to go on a trip, take a vacation, take a group tour, costs so much money, and they only have so much money to spend.
Right.
On their trip. So we're seeing that, and we can gauge it, and that's the true picture of the American economy. And I ask people from all over, you know, how the bills are, how the money is. But generally, after many talks and seeing our own lives and the people that work for me, everything's up about 30 to 58% within the last 2 years. That's incredible, unprecedented. We're doing about 2 to 3 price changes a day for the last 1.5 years. We used to do a couple a year. Utility, food, steel, your gas and fuel, everything up. I mean, unprecedented. The average per month per family is about $480 a month more than they've spent the last year, year and a half. So I like to bring this up because I think we're watching, Rich used to call it utopia. I think our administration's in denial. I don't even care R or D thing. I'm just saying this is real times. And after November 8th, you're going to see the dam break and all this stuff's going to come out. But I just want to talk about that a little bit because, Mike, it's big, it's real. And, you know, we've got a recession, and we've got dollars not going so far, and Rich, you know, does see money in different pockets. And I had a couple guys on my other radio show, Mike. I just had this Boss Hammer Company owner, Dan Raymond, and I always ask on the show when the guests are on, why is Made in America important to you? And the last couple guests, it was great. It said, because we're American, Mark. I love that, Mike. That might become a shirt. Why Made in America? Because we're American.
You're right.
We've got to support the country we live in.
Boy, I'd like to meet those people. I meet these people in all these events I go to, and I enjoy talking about them. And, you know, I can be somewhat talkative if necessary, but the bottom line is people like that. And they don't understand. We are 50 days away from the midterm election. Is anyone bringing these facts and figures that we spoke about today? The amount of people in the country, the amount of people employed. And by the way, that is a fact. You can go right now on the United States Department of Labor and see that we have less jobs in this country now than we had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
A million less jobs. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we've got to start uniting, Mike, on this and our team. You know, but these are real facts. For some reason, it's not spicy enough to be on TV. But these are tough times, you know, talking to my employees. And we work hard. You know, nobody really, you know, second jobs, working overtime. It's a different culture for sure. But we've just got items that have to be fixed or maintained or stopped because we can't just keep going up. You can only charge so much over your counter or for a gift.
Right. And you know, Mark, here's the bottom line. People with all the distractions that we're all being hit by, and I mean every one of us, the high interest rates is attracting less businesses to expand, even to fix up their businesses, reopen Absolutely. Product lines here in the United States. And yet all they keep saying is they want to do inflation. What was the main cause of inflation? I asked this on another radio show. Tell me the real reason you saw inflation. 20 months ago, we had a very good economy. When that executive order was signed, it almost killed America in the last 20 months because I'm seeing it in supermarkets, going out to various places to talk to people. They say, well, I just don't buy those products anymore. But when I go into the supermarkets, I see that the companies that want them to charge higher rates, they leave. People are just saying, no, I can't buy it. It's too much. So 5 days later, even celery and all this stuff, they have it on a half price sale because celery rots after a certain amount of days.
Right. Lettuce goes bad.
All that stuff. So they are just killing themselves. However, the people harvesting the products, delivering the products, packaging the products are all suffering as a result of the energy increase. Everything that we touch, plastics, what we put in our car, the air conditioner covers, everything has something to do with energy.
And, Mike, you know, I've been looking at electric bills, but wait, we're getting into the colder season in September. Natural gas is going to be, that's going to be the talk of the town, what these prices are. And people that are on fixed income, and that's a lot of these bus people, the tours that come, remember they're spending 50% less than they did a year and a half ago, profit per visit, or even just sales per visit. And that's a fact. And I love to gauge it, but, you know, what do we do with it? We've got to talk about it. We've got to tell people about it. How do we stop it? You know, buying Made in America, Mike, works because it's helping your country, keeping the taxes, it's keeping money in. But we need help and fast. But if they're in denial, I watched 60 Minutes with our president on it's denial. It's just it's false, the information being told.
It's unrealistic. I mean, I don't know. You see, someone like you or I is watching the news a portion of the news, and we're grasping what is being done to us with this inflation and the rising prices. I don't think this soul is understanding what is happening. When he says it's only 8% increase in inflation, what does that mean?
Yeah. You know,
it didn't make sense to me. Or he said, that look around, that nobody's wearing masks, the pandemic is over. Well, after he said that, 40 governments in the United States freaked out. You know why? Because if that means all the money they designated for the pandemic, to keep the pandemic, you know, getting moved so that it is over, is all of a sudden, well, it's no longer, so they return it back to Washington? They almost had a heart attack, some of these people. No, Fauci went off. He says, oh, no, it just means that it's a little bit better and it's going to take a long time for us to get around and all. I was listening to it yesterday and today. Everybody has to hide what's really going on in this country.
Inflation, Mike, when you see my steel, my old steel that I build products with, go from 50 cents a pound cost to $1.50 to $1.60 a pound. Now you can find it at $1.30 a pound. We're more than double. That's not 8% to me. That's reality, and that's steel. You know, and then you take stainless steel four times as much as it was 2 years ago. So we've got some serious, serious problems. But as we talk on the show, they never face the brutal fact. They never face the problem. They never take care of the problem.
No.
And it's a huge problem now in the United States of America.
It is a silver spoon mentality in Washington and in many, many state houses all over the United States. I want to see governors do something to govern. I want to see legislators do something to legislate for the people. This is America. We're supposed to be free. We're not supposed to be in, you know, clusters of this or that. We're supposed to be free to do what we want. Get a good education. But if you're saying, I can't put the trade programs and other educational things back in the classroom because it's not possible to get qualified teachers. Well, my answer immediately is, why did you take them out in the first place? Today, people call our agency to ask for, do you have any people looking for plumbers? Do you have any people looking to be electricians? The Navy Yard in Philadelphia just ran a job fair looking for every type of person to come forward that would like to be trained in various levels of these programs. It's impossible to believe that we don't have enough people to be plumbers, take care of heating and air conditioning, to fix cars. You know, this is not a just all of a sudden you pull the motherboard out and throw it out the window because it's coming from China. You have to fix these things. I'd rather pay an American to fix a car, to fix an air conditioner, to fix a refrigerator, not take the motherboard out, throw it away, and, you know, maybe it'll work and maybe it won't.
Yeah, Mike, a lot of the people I interview are CEOs, business owners, small business, but the 100% Made in America business owners, you know, the whole difference is they're not about their self. So the owner is not about their self because, hey, you go overseas, have your product made. That's put more money in your pocket. That's increasing your stock, your portfolio. But, you know, Made in America, we're taking care of everybody else that works for us. And that's kind of the difference. If you're just worried about yourself, go overseas, do all them things to make your profit, your portfolios grow. Otherwise, if you're not just worried about yourself, make it in America, take care of all your employees, and create livelihoods.
Mark, if I was to ask you a very important question, maybe you can give me an answer because you're a man who started a new business 12 years ago trying to make something special happen in your community, for your family, for your friends who were workers. Who and what is stopping Americans from having long-term new businesses come here and new opportunities here in the United States? What's been stopping that over the last 35 years?
Yeah, I mean, regulation for sure, capital, hard to get capital to live your dream in Larkin. We can talk about that all day. Banks just don't want to support you. But they've got to have the want. You got to make Made in America important. But I think a cultural change, even to schools, exposing the metal shops, wood shops, allowing people having more classes on entrepreneurism and starting businesses would be better. And, you know, but it is difficult to run a business these days, and they're making it harder and harder. When you're taking regulation away, making it easier, freeing up money, freeing up the American dream and possibilities, that's the way, and maybe incentives, Mike, to help people, you know, build here in their backyard and support the country they live in would be better.
Right. But here is the problem. 50 days away from the midterms, and no one running for office is speaking about it. If they were, I'd be happy to highlight them. I'd be very happy to highlight them. Who are they? They're talking, you know, one, this did this, this did that, this one's no good. This is all nonsense. The people are going to go out and vote and not be really educated as to what they need to know about the person who is going to do the best job for them. And the person should be able to say, if I get in, if I was running for an office, I would be able to say, if I get in, I am going to introduce legislation that is going to put us back to the energy situation of America where we were in the year 2020. Not worrying about who was the president during better energy times, who put in the executive order. We want to go back to that point, period. And from that point, we're going to expect inflation to drop on everything. When those energy prices go down, you have a more possibilities of having a better future. What I see now, our kids are going to be just killed because everything is going up around them. Whether you go out for school supplies, you go out for new products that you need in the house, everything is going up 30, 40, 50% in the last 20 months. Makes no sense to me. Who's looking out for the well-being of American workers and our families right here in the United States? That's a problem. Mark, as always, you are the best. I want to say, how is our Dr. Larkin today doing?
Well,
you heard the questions, morning, Larkin. I want to hear what you have to say about them.
Yeah. We, you know, I just returned from a week in Texas, across the states of Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, and back into Florida. Interesting trip. Met a lot of interesting people. Saw a lot of interesting landscape. And had a great time seeing family and friends. As we know from last week's radio show, I was with Bruce and his lovely wife, Janie, at their home in Victoria, Texas, for last week's show. I've come back only to whack myself in the shin in my workshop and have another cut on my... It's ridiculous to get old. You do the dumbest things and unfortunately have the dumbest consequence. You know, Michael, you're pertinent to what you said, and Mark, thank you again for sticking the arrow right in the middle of the target. It's hard to contemplate an American public life in the 21st century and not arrive at the unhappy conclusion that we're being led by people who do not have the country, its citizens, or its backbone in their interest. I've said a couple times by idiots. They're not idiots, but they're so concerned with other matters, getting reelected being number one, that they do some pretty idiotic things. But, you know, the political class, all the people elected, all the DC elected politicians, have lately pronounced an impressive string of debacles. They've come up with them, and while they're absolutely embarrassing, I'm going to run through them again. The Afghanistan pullout, the urban crime wave, the ease of seeing the coming inflation that Washington had no idea how to approach, mayhem at the southern border, 200,000 hits of colored candy-looking fentanyl seized last week, enough to probably kill everybody in the state of Texas.
Yep.
Self-generated energy crisis, a pandemic response that would embarrass a third-world nation. And then there are the old standbys, the mind-boggling, expensive welfare state that doesn't work. Doesn't work now, didn't work then, and it won't continue to work until welfare recipients are expected to be responsible for their situation. Public schools that make kids dumber, universities that nurture destructive grievances and notorious ideology, and a news media and a press that nobody trusts. And I mean nobody. You and I don't trust them. The politicians don't trust them. They are in this game to acquire viewers, to sell advertising. And it unfortunately taints editors of the news that is presented by our three networks for sure, Fox, MSNBC, CNN. They all, none of them give us a straight answer. But, you know, where we as Americans only see corresponding possibilities, these fundamental challenges are as vast and diverse as the American family itself. Whether you come from poverty or wealth, or whether you're Christian or Jewish, from a big city or a small town, we all are equals and equal in the eyes of God. And if that's not enough for you, we must be equal in the eyes of each other. But we must instead start finding out who we are. Our origins matter less than our destinations, and that's what democracy is all about. It's a philosophy we can live by, and in fact, I hope with all my heart that if a generation of young people that we're bringing up now see this and understand this, they'll never make war. I wish the United States, a nation of extreme strength, extreme wealth, and extreme power, would become the people of all nations, the people of all races and faiths, and that we could learn to live in harmony. Listen, 50% of everything being produced in this country is even a big ask when you talk to the people of England and other countries in Europe. It's a world economy now. I can place an order with Amazon for a bottle of hot sauce and have it delivered to my door the next morning. Mm-hmm. I can buy an umbrella in Chicago and have it delivered the next day, if I so choose. The world has shrunk.
You're right, you know, Larkin, you're 1,000% right. I see these trucks up and down the streets, whether I'm going in the morning or late in the day, they are driving, making enormous amounts of deliveries. I see the difference. Even I've been to a mall to have a discussion with someone, and the mall is really not populated the way it used to be. Now, some of that could be the recession, but others are, people are just, after the pandemic, got to the point where I'll just order it online and be done with it. Now, if 50% of that stuff was made in America, everybody would benefit in some way. But since
you know, it's easy for us to talk about this week after week after week, make it in America, week after week after week, make it in America, make it in America.
But
that's fine. It's great to talk about it. But it doesn't.
But Larkin, how are we going to turn it around? I ask politicians, and politicians, the highest politician says, I don't know. What suggestion do you have? And I gave some suggestions to this. I'll give you some suggestions if you want them. I can offer you some suggestions how to make it in America right now, because business people tell me this. Michael, lower taxes and regulations on America's businesses so we find it 100 times more beneficial to make and distribute it here in America. Our import costs are going up very high, so we have to raise our costs to the consumer. A few weeks ago, make America the best place to do business is what I thought. Is it the best place to do business right now? No, it's not. And by the way, we have to tariff all the products coming into the United States the same way foreign countries do, the same way Europe does. We don't do that. It's so little, Larkin, the taxes are almost forgiven in many cases. And where does the tariff money go? That's what people are all concerned. Where is it? Why isn't that tariff money, 100% of it, given to the schools so they can get people into the trades, teach them electrical and plumbing and everything else? That's where the tariffs. We don't know where the tariff money's going. No politician knows where the tariff money is going. Do you?
I can tell. No, I have no idea.
Well, that's neither does a politician who's voting. Who's voting for all this stuff based upon party line, but not knowledge of what it's really all about?
I don't believe in tariffs unless we're tariffing a country that will not do equal trade.
But if other countries are tariffing us, why can't we tariff them?
Who's tariffing us?
Everybody. You go to any place in Europe, and they have it, don't call it a tariff. They call it a value-added tax. It's a VAT tax. I've been to Europe many times, and they don't VAT tax the stuff made in their country. They VAT tax the stuff coming imported to their country. So it's the same thing, whether you call it a tariff, a VAT tax. You know, we should close our borders and admit people only after they completed all the legal immigration process, as your family, my family, and everybody else's family had to do over the years. No exceptions. We have to consider the words. You know, it was President Franklin Roosevelt that said, we should all remember always that we're all of us are from foreign stock. That we're descendants of immigrants and revolutionists. And we were all invited to this country over the years to fill jobs, to build up America, not the way it's happening now. We have to look for the reasons. What is causing growing poverty in America? I ask the politicians, they say it's just a factor of the world. World is growing with poverty. The question is, no, it's not. In other countries, people are working. They may not be paid a lot, but they are working. What is causing growing poverty in the United States of America? When was the last time, Larkin, the people in the United States had a document telling them what's causing poverty in America? I'd like to see that report. We're paying all these people in Washington to do what? 23 million people are employed by government at all levels. The people in Washington should be telling us what's causing poverty. We have to review the eligibility guidelines for what is welfare provided for. Are any of these people able to be trained? Are they working age, able-bodied? There's none of this being reported. When I speak to the politicians, they say, well, oh, that's controversy. Oh, we wouldn't even think of that. Why not? Tell me why not. We're talking about getting jobs in this country. We want people out of poverty. We want people off unemployment. We want everybody working full and part-time jobs. As I said in today's report, we need 30 million jobs in this country. Can we get them back? Can we create them? I believe we can. I believe we can if we put our nose to the grindstone.
Here's the deal, and this may be from my experience only. We have a senior and junior class in high school. I haven't seen the senior class this year. I saw them last year. in St. Johns County. They have been trained to think that they're going to go to college, even if it's community college, at any expense, and when they get out, they want to know, where the $95,000 a year job is that everybody told them that they would get when they got out of college. I agree with you. We need to, as a matter of fact, here's how warped our thinking is. We relieve the debt, the college debt of people that went to four-year colleges and junior colleges, by the way. What didn't we relieve? What did we not pay for? Borrowed money for people to learn skilled trades. If you went to a trade school and you had to pay money for it, the government doesn't reimburse it.
Exactly.
Not a penny.
And you know, Larkin, you're right. In this case, you're right. But no one is speaking up. No one in the state of Pennsylvania is speaking up about restoring the trades in the schools. Everything is, it's so controversial. I said that. I know Mark made a remark about that a long time ago. What is controversial about teaching our children? Or even Henry told me that his son is looking to get into some kind of training program just for the knowledge of it. He can't go until he's in 11th grade. What happened to 8th, 9th, and 10th? Why is that? This is the state of Pennsylvania. All these elected people should be off their asses and finding every which way to get jobs back here in the USA. Not worrying about all giving more drugs and what are we going to do to stop drugs entering the country. Stop the people from coming over the border and you'll have less drugs. You just said earlier that we have all these drugs coming in here. They look like candy and everything else. Stop them.
Well, it's not a concern.
It's who's going to be concerned? Washington. Who is the person who's going to be concerned about?
They might lose votes, Mike.
Well, that's too bad. It's time for the people to get off their butts and go out and vote. Larkin, you're absolutely right. In fact, yesterday they had day of registration. I don't know if anybody went on Google yesterday, but when you went on Google, they had it National Registration Day. Did you see it?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody is pushing, go out and vote. I've been pushing it for years. And when people, I do ask people very nicely, I say, are you all ready to vote? And some people say, well, I haven't re-registered since I moved. I'm thinking, I said, well, there's a very easy way. There's a very easy way to do it right from the front page of our internet site where you don't have to put any postage or send it back.
Okay, you've made your point. All I'm saying is we live in a country where a significant percentage are embarrassed to fly the American flag.
I agree.
A significant number of people aren't proud that they're Americans. I actually have a very, very close relative who said, I'm not proud to be American. Why would I be proud
to be part of Larkin, I understand that thinking too, but there's also something that could be done and should be done. And if I were a person in charge, if Mark was a person in charge, it would definitely be accomplished. And that is, I would lower the taxes and the regulations, and I would work with every business group. There would be conference after conference, not with me doing the talking, but with professionals doing the talking. How do we open jobs? What do we need in this country? What can we compete with other countries to make here in the United States? None of that is being done. When people say we talk about it every week, we'll talk about it every year until we're all dead, and the people who follow us will be talking about it because leadership in Washington is being paid, and they are doing zero. Zero.
And what are they?
And Larkin, you look at your candidates where you're living. Mark, you look where you're living. I look where I am. And by the way, none of those candidates are telling anybody what could be done to bring jobs, stability, stop the drug situation, end crime, end poverty. Nobody. It's just a countdown. It's now 50 days to the midterm election. Tomorrow it'll be, it's 49 days. What about, what are you going to do if you get into the job?
Listen, this is all great rhetoric. It's all great rhetoric. And we aren't solving our problem.
But you know what? Here is a problem that we could solve immediately. Working in immigration, working with immigrants and in immigration. Do you know, Larkin, the last time immigration was addressed in this country was when Ronald Reagan became president. That was the last time. What's been going on all these years?
And did you hear what the president said yesterday?
No.
That he was concerned about the communist governments in Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Cuba. Well, good Lord, guys, I got to tell you something. There's been a communist government in Cuba for as long as I've been alive, all the way back to Batista. And there's been a communist government in Venezuela for a good 20 years. You know, we have to take our eye off that ball and quit thinking that we are the land of milk and honey for anybody in the world that wants to come
because
here.
Because we have no milk left and there's no honey in the cookie jar. So the problem is, I'm looking at the debt clock right now. We are approaching $31 trillion in debt. That means every citizen has to pay. Every citizen has to pay $92,000. That's a child 6 months old. They're saddled up with that money. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. I want to hear what are we going to do with getting the jobs back. I want to hear that.
I'm not giving up. You should hear what's being said by a significant percentage of Americans who think that the governor of Texas, who happens to be on the firing line, I heard the Democratic mayor of San Antonio, I forget, this morning, who just said, I don't know what to do now. I mean, if they got on all fours and grazed in everybody's front yards, we wouldn't have grass in San Antonio. They are being deluged to the point of over 1,000 people a day. But our government doesn't think that's important. They think it's more important that, well, your aunt and uncle came over here. Your grandfather and your great-grandfather came over here as immigrants. Yeah, they went through Ellis Island.
That's right.
They got tagged. They registered their names. They did the whole thing, and then they became citizens.
But, Larkin, there was something even more important that no one is discussing. And I can tell you, without a second thought, and people listening can tell you exactly, those people were invited. 95% of those people were invited to this country to work. Because our industries were booming during the Industrial Revolution. And we can't make a child all of a sudden become an adult and fill that job. So they welcome people from around the world. That's how those people got here. And companies would send, RCA Victor and all would send, you know, a letter, I need 300 people to work, come to Camden, New Jersey to work. That's how they came here. Not over a border, not pushing them in buses to other cities and states, not taking a plane 3 o'clock in the morning and dropping them off somewhere else. This is not the way it is. And by the way, after that plane comes back to the state to where Biden is sending them, what do the people in that city or state do with them?
Nothing.
Well, this is the problem. Who is paying the bill? Who is paying the bill? I ask politicians. They don't have an answer.
Three quarters of the time, the receiving city doesn't even know they're coming.
Nobody knows. They come 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. And they sit them out in the tarmac, and they leave them out there until the sun comes up, and then they bring the plane in off the tarmac and put it up and just release them.
Larkin,
you know what they did? You know what those people... I love Lottie Dawes and Martha's Vineyard. Do you know what those... I won't say anything. Do you know what those people did? They threw them all out of Martha's Vineyard and sent them to Cape Cod.
Right. Now, Martha's Vineyard, those people said, well, we have to welcome people and this and that. That's fine. But the second they were sent to Martha's Vineyard, the people all had the heave-ho mihasi. Get them out. No, we don't have the place for them. But there's one good thing that has happened, as far as I'm concerned, with this going on as a result of the governors of Texas and Florida sending the people to different cities. We're finally talking about the illegal immigration issue in America. We're finally discussing the illegal immigration issue in America. It hasn't been adjusted since Ronald Reagan is president. It's about time we do something. And then when that's addressed, we have to address what are we going to do to get 30 million more people working here in the United States of America. Thank you, world. We did a great job helping you, and all the people in all these big corporations had a chance to send all the people around the world the jobs and screw the American people. Now it's time to turn it over. It's the pancake frying on the frying pan. It's now time to turn it over and look for American first. And if somebody doesn't like being an American, maybe they should go elsewhere.
Well, I invited this person who was particularly close to me. I told him I'd lend them the money.
Good.
To go.
Yes.
Wherever they can. I just don't understand. You know, they...
See, Larkin, one of the things that going out to talk to the people, they say, you know, Michael, I don't like this. People are invading my community. The mayor is sending people to my community. I didn't pay to fix up my house and make my yard beautiful and make sure my pavement is perfect to all of a sudden be thrown, have, you know, 1,000 people come to my community that have no money, no ability to live there, and they're just there. And they open up a special office to give, you know, benefits and doctoral care and all that. This shouldn't go on like this. Larkin, we have to share a few minutes with Dr. Rich Loges. Rich, you heard a little bit today, and I like these kinds of discussions. And I'll tell you, the politicians understand where I come from. And if this doesn't change in the next 49 or 50 days, I am going to go on a rampage after this election. Because what's happened is 2 years passed since the last election. Rich? And nothing's been said about how are we going to change? How are we going to stop the drug problem in America? How are we going to restore more jobs by offering tax breaks and regulation situations for our businesses to make America the great place? Nothing. It's all just the clock is ticking. And each day, you know, boom, 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 you know. So I don't know if Rich is on there or not. But no, he had to go. But Larkin, this was a very good thing. But, you know, how can America have no discussion on legal immigration in 40 years? How is it possible? The southern border. By the way, those people that are coming to the southern border, a lot of them are being given an opportunity. Where do you want to go? You want to go to Chicago? You want to go to New York? You want to go here? You want to go there? Hey, this is the first time people in other states, other than Florida and all the surrounding places there near Texas, are allowing people that they're getting in over the border legally to go to other states. So the story is that people are going to talk about this, but when will it be finalized? Here we are on the 21st day of September, 2022, how long is it going to take for them to start taking some action? That's the problem.
Well, let me give you...
Yes? Well, as we wait, I just want to say that we have a lot of things that have to be done here in the United States. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to everybody that stops me. Everybody that I speak with wants to settle the illegal immigration issue. People who are needed in the country should be allowed to come to take the jobs that that are available. If they are just coming over the wall and over the border, it's not appropriate for the American people to be just saddled with all these bills to have people. I understand that things may be difficult in other countries, but those people should help make things better in their countries by uniting, by having some kind of a revolution over there so that they would be able to live life in the new 21st century. You know, we're watching all that's taking place in Ukraine. It's a situation none of us would believe. Could you believe that this date and time in our history, we are going through all this, watching this happen, people being slaughtered for no reason, children being murdered for no reason, people having to leave their country. I do understand what the illegal immigrants are going through, but it has to be a way we know who they are, when they came, what they're doing, where they could be welcomed. This is a whole different world that we're living in, and something has to be done. As I said in the beginning of the broadcast today, the interest rate is making it less attractive for businesses to expand or even reopen product lines here in the United States. Every time they raise interest rates, the higher the pain of repayment is for whoever is borrowing that money, whether it's on a credit card, a new house, a new car, something has to be done. And every time interest goes up, it means that families in our country will be able to afford less, be able to do less, and that's not what America is all about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to just once again say thank you because it was a very good week for discussing things with our good listeners, and please do spread the word. I'm going to ask all of you if you would go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and you will see contact your elected officials here. If you could contact them, remember, they have people on staff. You'll never get them directly, but they have people on staff and at least they'll take the information and your concerns and write them down, and maybe their chief of staff or someone on the staff will be able to say, people are calling regarding this. There's also the register to vote link. It is very easy. You go in, you put in your state, your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly how you should register. And there's no reason to panic. They don't gather information. You have the same information gathered, whether you were mailing in a mail-in ballot for registration or you were doing it online. Sooner or later, it all gets computerized. So let's get registered and let's get back to being the great nation of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, my thanks to Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. God bless and have a wonderful weekend.